Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
All right, folks, welcome in to Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports. I am your host, Ryan Blackburn at NBA Blackburn on Twitter, part of the Mile High Sports Podcast Network, and I am here to talk about tonight's Denver Nuggets loss as they get waxed. Let's be honest, that was bad. It was a bad, bad performance from your Denver Nuggets, unfortunately, as they lose to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Final score on that one, 111-98. Nuggets fail to get to 100 points for the second time in a row, facing a couple of good defenses. Phoenix, surprisingly a good defense. Minnesota, definitely a good defense. Nobody's surprised about that one, obviously. And Minnesota brought their A game. They were very good tonight. I was in the building. I clearly saw a team that was just on a different level than where the Nuggets are right at this moment. And I'll expand about that a little bit more in the future, but just wanted to thank everybody that does hop in here, hop into the show. I know it's a very late show. I'm not going to be able to podcast tomorrow. I have a family obligation. So that is why I am podcasting back tonight, a throwback to Nuggets After Dark, as I was doing towards the middle and end of last year. Fun stuff. Good to get back into that swing of things for sure, but not a fun game to talk about. We're going to talk about this one. Obviously, I'm not expecting a ton of social interaction with this one, believe me, but wanted to get up a podcast none the same. All right, let's talk about this game. We're going to talk about that in the first segment. Second segment, going to talk about tough playoff matchups and if the Timberwolves are, in fact, the toughest playoff matchup. If you're looking at the title of this podcast, you're probably like, yeah, Ryan seems to think that they are. And I'll explain my logic in just a little bit. But third, I'm going to talk about Jamal Murray's health and Denver's overall health concerns and sort of where I am just talking to people in the building, asking questions at the podium. You guys hear me on the post-game commentary, the post-game bits that are posted by Altitude and any other outlet, basically. Like, I'm definitely asking a lot of questions in there and hopefully trying to get you the answers that you deserve, that you absolutely deserve as Nuggets fans. So, a lot of questions to be asked tonight about this Nuggets team. But let's start about the game. Let's start with the game. Let's talk about just everything that went on. Denver came out of the gate really poorly. Really poorly in this one. They go down immediately 33-26. And I could already sense at that point that this was just kind of a different tier than where the Nuggets were willing to go, where they were able to go on a night like tonight. Minnesota goes up. They put up 33 points, 29 points in back-to-back quarters, go up 62-43 as the Nuggets the Nuggets offense. I thought that that was more of the problem than the Nuggets defense. Michael Malone obviously would disagree, but I thought that Denver's offense was really problematic in this one. Nikola Jokic was bothered by the coverage that the T-Wolves were throwing at him. Naz Reid was being very physical. In the third quarter, Jokic obviously drew a bunch of fouls. He got to the foul line. He helped Denver sort of get back into it that way. But Denver only scored 21 points in that quarter, despite Nikola Jokic going to the free throw line 8 times. And Denver just couldn't hit a shot. on the outside. I had initially praised Michael Porter for his ability to sort of get involved in, like, early and often. That was when he had 8 points in, like, the first 4 or 5 minutes of the game. He finished with 14, and two of those were certainly in garbage time towards the end of this game. But he couldn't really stay involved. Jaden McDaniels and the Minnesota Timberwolves did a nice job of cutting off a bunch of his shot attempts, and the shot attempts that he did get going forward, he missed. And that's now 4 straight games where Michael Porter's been pretty meh, pretty underwhelming, not necessarily helping the Nuggets win. It can't all be on Jokic. This is the thing that comes up when Murray is missing. Denver's got to come up with some replacements here or there. And Porter just hasn't really been that. I thought he would be. Thought he would have stepped up into this role. I was talking to a couple of other people that it's not necessarily about him stepping up in the first option role. He just needs to step up into a second option role when Jokic is out there doing what he is supposed to do. But he hasn't really done that lately either. So I'm curious to see. I know that he was a big focal point of the game plan for the best defense in the NBA. Had Jaden McDaniels on him for much of the night. That was definitely a factor. But Denver also kind of went away from it because not even really sure why, if I'm being honest. But Denver had replacement point guard play from Reggie Jackson and Colin Gillespie for under 5 minutes. Reggie Jackson was solid for parts of the game and pretty bad for other parts of the game. He was underwhelming, couldn't really finish around the rim. The T-Wolves did a great job of locking down the paint. That's just what they do. Rudy Gobert is going to be a roamer. He's going to be helping off. And even a guy like Naz Reid, who isn't necessarily an awesome defender, in my opinion, but he's a big body and he's athletic enough that he can get up and he can wall off the paint a little bit himself. And somebody like Reggie Jackson is going to have to be better finishing. Going to have to be better finishing in those situations. And there were just enough of those. It goes 4 of 15, 2 of 10 from 2-point range. It's just not good enough. And so many of those shots for Reggie Jackson. I'm just going to pull up the shot chart here. It wasn't a ton of mid-rangers. It was like he actually made his only mid-range shot, and he was 1 of 9 inside the paint. 1 of 9. That is not good enough. Denver can't have that. Murray would obviously help with that, but there are some things that Murray wouldn't have helped with, and the defense is definitely one of them. Denver's defense wasn't very good. They allowed Minnesota to get whatever they wanted. Minnesota had 0 turnovers in the first half. They turned the ball over plenty in the second half, or at least plenty enough that it sort of made a dent. So it was only 7, but it allowed Denver to kind of get back into the game. Minnesota only scored 49 points in the second half after scoring 62 in the first. But just too many mistakes, too many offensive rebounds allowed. And these were key points where you get a tip out for an offensive rebound 3. And those are just backbreakers where you do a great job. And Denver only allowed 6 offensive rebounds tonight. Rudy Gobert had 3 of them. 3 other guys had 1 apiece. But Denver just didn't get enough stops in general. And like the defense sort of improved, but I'm looking at KCP on that one. He was not very good in his matchup against Anthony Edwards, in my opinion. Ant had, like, he was 0 of 8 from 3, but that wasn't really anything that Denver was doing specifically. Ant was just missing. Ant was 8 of 11 from 2-point range and then 9 of 10 from the free throw line. He was in control. And Jaden McDaniels got the shots that he wanted against Michael Porter, hit pretty much every shot that he wanted. Rudy Gobert went 7 of 8 from the field. Denver tried hack a Gobert towards the end of the game, and he went 7 of 15 from the line. It wasn't quite enough to get them back into it, but just a mix of problems for Denver on the defensive end. Stuff that you don't really like, stuff that you don't like. Denver's energy was clearly not there. They didn't approach the game at the beginning really well. I thought that Aaron Gordon wasn't very good. And I thought that Michael Porter, like, Jokic put up 32, 10, and 5. Like, he was involved. He shot 24 times. He was doing his best to keep Denver in the game. And Michael Porter, too often in those situations, was just left kind of standing on the sidelines, not necessarily wanting to get too involved. It was really just Reggie Jackson and Nikola Jokic in the middle of the floor. And that's the way to attack Minnesota, especially when they don't have Jaden McDaniels defending on the ball. They had him defending Mike. The problem is that Mike, he's got to step up and scale up to that second scorer role. And Denver's got to do a better job of keeping him involved, and Mike's got to do a better job of making himself available in those situations. And like, to only take 10 shots in 36 minutes on a night like tonight, to me, that's it's not good enough. He had some good passes. I do want to note, had some nice passes, including a dump off to Aaron Gordon in the middle of the lane. There were some good high value passes. He finished with 4 assists, but just not enough involvement in, like, as a scorer. On a night where Denver couldn't score, Mike had it going at the beginning and then faded. Like, he can't fade in these situations. Denver needs more from him, and they didn't get it. So I'm not concerned, per chance, per se. Denver's in a really tough place right now with where they are health-wise. Let's talk about this with Matt Moore, and there's the common consensus at Ball Arena right now is that Denver is tired, is that they're pretty physically beaten down and worn down, and they did a nice job. And one of the things I noted was that, and Denver, they were talking about being the one seed a couple weeks ago. Talking about being the one seed, talking about all these things. And now that they've lost back-to-back games, the tone has definitely shifted from, we need to be the one seed, we want to be the one seed, to, let's just get healthy. Denver just dropped to the 3 seed tonight, and I wonder if they stay that way going forward. And I think they'll probably be fine. They'll probably be okay with it. But just noting that Denver is kind of like, I think this loss, I think this may have changed some things for the way that Denver handles their final 8 games of the season or so. They already were resting guys every now and then. Jamal's obviously been out. We'll talk about him in the third segment. But it sort of feels like Denver is on the trajectory now, where over the final 8 games of the season, they clinched the 3 seed over the Clippers, and then they're done. They're not going to worry about the 2 seed. They're not going to worry about the 1 seed. They're probably just going to clinch the 3, and they'll let that be that. So we'll see where they go from here, but let's take a break. Tough one. Don't really want to talk about this game too much. Let's just kind of flush it, because there aren't a ton of really major big takeaways that I have for this. Because, like, look, Denver was just overwhelmed. They're overwhelmed by what is a better team right now, a more desperate team right now in Minnesota. Minnesota definitely needed that game. And we'll talk about why on the other side. We'll be right back. But first, this podcast, as you know, it's brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports, the most trusted name in sports gambling, with a direct line to Las Vegas. And now you can use their promo code MILEHIGH and score up to $250 with their first bet bonus. Win or lose, Superbook will match your first bet up to $250 with promo code MILEHIGH. Download the Superbook Sports app, enter the promo code, and you'll get $250, courtesy of Superbook Sports. Visit Superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. We'll be right back on Pickaxe and Roll. And we are back. Pickaxe and Roll. Ryan Blackburn here. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Apologies for the late hour. As I noted at the beginning, just not going to be able to podcast tomorrow. And I know it is now tomorrow because it is 12:43 a.m. But not going to be able to podcast at any other time on Saturday. Just got some obligations. And then Denver's got a matinee game on Easter on Sunday. So I will podcast after the Easter game. We'll kind of do Similar schedule to what I'm doing now, except it's a 1:30 p.m. start. So Swipa and I will be doing Weekends with Swipa, most likely at around, we'll say 7 or 8 p.m. on Wednesday night. Should be fun. We'll do my best to give you the best coverage on that one. All right, let's talk about toughest matchups. Minnesota has jumped to the toughest matchup for me. And they never really left from that spot. Like, there are some concerns I think that people had with them in terms of their execution offense, in terms of their ability to be poised in different situations. Is Anthony Edwards going to match up with Nikola Jokic as a best player in a series kind of thing? I think that those are all still valid. I think that they're all still reasons to be a little bit wary of Minnesota specifically. But what they do have that other teams don't have is the exact defensive personnel that you need to match up with the Nuggets. And here's why. Just talking to some Minnesota folks, Dane Moore, who's been on the Dane Moore podcast. Also, he's done the Alley-Oop with me. You should know him if you listen to my work. John Krasinski over at The Athletic. Those guys are of the opinion that, like, Minnesota's defensive personnel is about as good as you can get with matching up with Denver. They can throw size and athleticism and length at Jamal Murray between Jaden McDaniels and Nikhil Alexander-Walker. Anthony Edwards can do some good things on the ball if need be, but most of the time he'll be hidden. Mike Conley's a solid defender. He's undersized. Denver will hunt him when they can, but he's solid. And then the key factor here is that whether Karl Anthony Towns is back or if it's Naz Reid, those guys are strong enough and physical enough that they can match up with Jokic physically, and then it allows Rudy Gobert to do what he did tonight, which was cause havoc. Gobert was great. He only finished plus one, but I do want to, like, he was fantastic for the most part tonight. The T-Wolves were able to take advantage of the non-Jokic minutes and some of those other segments with guys like Naz Reid out there, with Mike Conley and Anthony Edwards out there at times, especially that stagger at the beginning of the second and the fourth quarter, because when Gobert's out there matching Jokic's minutes in a lot of ways, Denver just has, like, they've got a plan, Denver does, about what they want to do. They want to attack the rim. They want to get layups. They don't want to shoot a bunch of threes. They want to generate the best shots possible. And that's even with Murray out there. They don't take a ton of threes. They slow the game down. They want to be methodical. They want to work it to the rim. And Rudy Gobert is one of the best rim protectors in NBA history. He's great, legitimately great. And because Minnesota, if they did get Kat back, if they had both Kat and Naz Reid to throw at Jokic, it's a little bit different than last year where they just had Kat. And if he got into foul trouble, it's Kyle Anderson. Or you have to move Gobert onto Jokic permanently, and then that changes the coverages on the backside. So I think that Minnesota, and then, by the way, Nikhil Alexander-Walker is one of the best positional defenders in the NBA, and Kyle Anderson is one of the smartest defenders in the NBA. They have toolsy guys. They have guys that can make plays. They have guys that are fundamentally sound. They are going to give Denver hell. They're going to give Denver's offense hell. And the Nuggets are going to have to raise to a different level than where they really have ever been on the offensive end in order to match up with the Timberwolves this year. Because the Timberwolves are better defensively than they were last year by a lot. They are smarter. They are more connected. They have better personnel. It's just very clear. So I think that they are at the top of the list of teams that Denver should not necessarily fear, but I think are the best threats to a Nuggets title. Because if I think that if Denver's going to lose the title this year, I don't think it's going to be because they lost in the NBA Finals. I think it will be because they did not get there. Because they, like, for whatever reason, there was a team that matched up with them really well. There was a team that caught them at the wrong time. there was a team that just outshot them, whatever it ends up being. I think the Minnesota's at the top of the list. They are one. I think the Suns are number two. I think OKC is number three on that pecking order. The Suns have proven with Nurkic and Eubanks that they've got some physical guys that are smart, that can connect. And as we saw with Phoenix, they have enough shooters now that it's a little bit different. It's a little bit different than it was last year when you're letting guys like Josh Okogie, Kata Bates Diop, even not Landry Shamet necessarily, but some of the other guys like Cameron Payne, just let them shoot. You're not scared of those guys. But now they've got Grayson Allen, they've got Bradley Beal, they've got Royce O'Neal, they've got some different names that are like pretty good, like pretty solid players and pretty great spacers for what their offense is going to be, which is Devin Booker mostly running point or Kevin Durant running point. And they'll each initiate, they'll each do some good, and Denver will have to keep up with that. I think it's going to be easier, but we will see. We will see what it ultimately ends up being. I'm curious as to how Denver handles themselves. I'm curious as to how, in that situation, what they would do. Because it would be a little bit different from last year. Phoenix would probably be a little bit more comfortable with attacking Denver's defense. And that'll be, it'll be just different. And then the other's OKC. OKC is still very dangerous. They just waxed Phoenix, who, like, it is funny that I'm talking up Phoenix right now, but they just couldn't be serious without, like, when facing OKC without Shea. But OKC is dangerous enough that they are a force to be reckoned with, too. They're really good. They're 51-22. They've got the best point differential in the Western Conference, the second best in the entire NBA by a long shot, really. And they are talented. And they've also got a guy that, like, Shea is very close to Jokic in the MVP conversation. I don't think he actually cracks it. But, hey, you never know. I thought that Jokic had this thing wrapped up and then lose two in a row. If they lose a third game in a row against Cleveland, then maybe some people start asking some questions. I don't think that they will, but we'll see. But I do think that those are the three toughest matchups. I don't think that the Clippers are a tough matchup for Denver. I think that Denver knows how to attack them. And it's just about playing disciplined and being locked in. They know that they can beat the Clippers. I think everybody feels pretty comfortable about that. Though we do have a matchup against the Clippers in 4 or 5 days or so. I think they play Denver on April 4th. So we'll get to see that one more time before the playoffs as well. Not worried about the Pelicans as much. They have too many holes within their team in terms of their offensive and defensive stuff. Like, I think that they are a team that's a little bit easier to crack. And as long as Denver stays healthy in that series, they'll be okay. And Jokic just matches up really well with Jonas Valanciunas. That's going to be the big problem for New Orleans, is that if Valanciunas can't match up with Jokic, and Jokic wins those minutes by a lot, they're just not going to be able to overtake that. And then some other teams, like we could go down the list, but I'm not as concerned about really any other team other than Minnesota, Phoenix, OKC. Those are the three. And so right now, Denver will be matched up with Dallas in the 3-6 matchup. That'd be tough if you're Denver. That'd be tough. Like, not easy. None of this is ever easy. Murray would have to be pretty good in that series. I think he'd show up. He'd be better than how he matched up against Derrick Jones Jr. in that series or that game about a week ago. Jokic would shoot more efficiently. He's just going to be better. I just wonder if those guys are tired, if they ran out of steam a little bit. It just seems very clear that Denver's okay with, like, I think that they should be okay, by the way. If they get the 3 seed, it's not going to change much of anything. They're still going to have to win. Like, they're going to have to win a road game as opposed to not having to. But if we're being honest, the best teams in the NBA, like in this championship pursuit for all these teams. They take care of their first round series easily. They win, like if they're going on the road in the second round, they win one of the first couple games and then finish off the series in six or fewer. And that's just how you have to handle it. Can't let any series go to seven. Can't be tired by the end of it. You just got to get through it. And the formula is still the same for Denver, whether they are at home or on the road, whether they are a one seed, a two seed, or a three seed. They'll be one of the three. They're most likely to be three. I think I'd put it at like 50% that they are three. Maybe like 30% that they're two. No, I'll put it at 40% that they are two. I think it's like a 10% chance now that they end up being the one, because despite the fact that they're just half a game out, they're not going to have any of the tiebreaker stuff. Losing to Minnesota tonight, already have lost to OKC three times. They're just not going to have any tiebreaker. And so because of that, they are kind of up a creek. It's going to be tough. But look, I don't think anybody should be super worried. That's not what it's really about. It's about the health. And we will talk about Jamal Murray's health on the other side. Final segment here, pickaxe and roll. I wanted to share a couple quotes, one of them pregame, one of them postgame. The first one is from Michael Malone on Jamal Murray's health. I asked Malone both of these questions, just whether he was going to be available tonight, how he's doing, and just if this is something that is a little bit troublesome, this injury. Is this going to linger? Malone says, quote, I have no idea what day it is, but I know it's the end of the month and that's how coaches live. We have one more game this month against Cleveland on Sunday. Then you get into San Antonio to close this five-game homestand. That's in April. So he's out tonight, and I'm not sure for the matinee game against Cleveland, but I do think he'll be back on the court before the playoffs start. Quote, I don't think this is a nine-game injury where he won't play the rest of the season heading into the postseason. I think right now it's managing the different bumps and bruises he has, and from a training standpoint, passing the certain thresholds he needs to be cleared to play, and he's just not there yet. So, given that, Murray's health is interesting. Malone didn't go out of the way to say, to say that Murray was just like not going to play for the rest of the regular season. I think the door is certainly open for him to play. And it sounds like he could definitely get back when Denver goes on their road trip. Or maybe when it's not even really a road trip. It's just a one-off against Denver play the 31st, they play the 2nd, and then they play a 4th. It's just the 4th against the Clippers. It wouldn't surprise me if he sat that game and came back after, because there's no real pressure. Like, there's nothing that Denver needs. Like, they could certainly win that game and make sure that they clinch the 3 seed over the Clippers. That would probably help. It would be nice for Denver if they were able to get that one, because that's definitely something that, like, If Denver were to drop to the 4 seed, one, that would probably, like, you could probably kiss Nikola Jokic's MVP goodbye, like, because it's different from the 3rd seed versus the 4th seed. It really is, especially when Shea is on the team that currently is top 2. But for Denver, it would be kind of psychological. You just don't want to drop before the playoffs start that much. And Denver, they haven't really dropped, because they started off the post-All-Star break schedule, I think, in 4th. They're now up to 3rd. They don't want to drop back down to 4th. Momentum would not be good. Not the momentum is really real, but it would just, like, you want to make sure that you're playing good basketball. And they played good basketball for a little bit, but I think that they need some reps of, like, what their playoff rotation is going to look like, how Murray sort of affects the bench units and how they play. Reggie needs to get back to playing a sporadic amount as opposed to 35 to 37 minutes. That seems like too much. And Colin Gillespie just probably, like, they shouldn't be relying on Colin, because if they do, like, he's not eligible for the playoffs anyway. So you don't want to have to do that. But regarding Murray's health specifically, there was one piece of that that I wanted to mention again. It is, quote, "I think right now it's managing the different bumps and bruises he has, and from a training standpoint, passing the certain thresholds he needs to be cleared to play, and he's just not there yet." He's not there yet is kind of concerning, because I thought that he would be a little bit better off. They have gone away from listing his injuries as an ankle injury to now it is right knee inflammation. Thought that was interesting. That is not the ACL knee. That is the other one. He tore the ACL in the left, if I'm not mistaken. But the right knee is the one that is inflamed. If you remember back to last year, Murray had this on occasion where it was a compensation injury, where had some knee inflammation on that side of things. The left knee was fine. The right knee was just a little bit sore from doing a lot of work and maybe doing a little extra work. So maybe the best thing for Murray is rest. But he's also one of those guys that he needs to kind of get into a rhythm again. And I'm not sure he's going to have a lot of time. Now, to be fair, going from the regular season to the playoffs, you're just never going to have a rhythm. Like, you're never going to keep a rhythm. But for Denver, it would not surprise me if they try to get him 4 or 5 games. And that's all he really needs. He doesn't even need to play like 35 minutes, 40 minutes or anything like that. He just needs to play 25 to 30 in 3 of them, and then maybe a half in the other. And that would be fine. So that's where I'm kind of thinking that there's some stuff there that it would be nice if he was able to get done. If he was able to play a little bit, that would be good. But second quote that I want to share is from Nikola Jokic. I posted this before leaving the presser tonight. Nikola Jokic on whether the Nuggets need the one seed or not. He says, quote, and this is a full quote, "I really don't know. If you want to pick and choose who we're going to play, I think that's not a good thing. I never did that. I think you should go there and win every game and beat the best, probably. Quote, I just want us to play good and to be healthy. I think that's the most important thing." So it's not like, this isn't like sage wisdom or anything like that. This is Nikola Jokic saying what he thinks, saying how he feels. And his perspective on this is interesting. He has maintained this throughout. Denver, as I mentioned before, has gone from, oh yeah, we want to be the one seed, to, oh yeah, we just kind of want to get healthy. Jokic has very much been in the camp of, I don't care what seed we are, we need to be playing well, we need to be healthy. He knows what they've got. I think everybody knows what they've got with Jokic and Murray especially. Denver just needs to be healthy, but they need to have some of these key, like, benchmarks that they reach in terms of playing well heading into the end of the season. They've stopped playing well. It's been a while since they've played a good game. Denver's had some moments where, like, hey, yeah, you play well against a bad team. Okay. Would like to see Denver, especially in some of these matchups against West teams, play really good. Put out a full 48. Shoot the ball well. It's been a while since we've heard Denver shoot the ball well. Denver's been kind of in a rut as a shooting team for a little bit now. It would be nice to see them make some threes. It would be nice to see them space the floor. I want to see Peyton Watson hit some threes. It's been a little bit since we've seen Peyton Watson hit some threes. I'll pull this up for you. I think he hit one, I want to say, 3 games ago or so. But over the past 13 games, We'll go 15 games. 16 games if you want to include tonight. Over the past 16 games, Peyton Watson has hit three total threes. Three of them. And it's not like he's taken one in every single game. Every single one, he's taken at least one. But he has not hit a three. In, like, yeah, since the Dallas game a couple weeks ago. So, want to see Peyton Watson hit some threes. Want to see Christian Brown play better than he did tonight. He was bad tonight. He was really bad. Want to see Denver not shoot 10 of 40 or 8 of 28 or just whatever they're doing. If there is one big weakness that I think Denver has right now, actually, I can name several. Defensive rebounding is one of them. Defensive rebounding, I think, is a focus thing. I think it's a mental thing as much as a physical thing. It's about doing the work and being willing to do the work. At Denver, that's one area where they haven't really been willing to do the work. But if there is one other thing, it is that they don't space the floor well. On the year, Denver's not shooting the ball at a great percentage. They are just shaky when it comes to their actual three-point stuff. They don't take a ton of threes. They are actually dead last in the amount of threes that they take. Right behind the Lakers. Now, Denver plays at a slower pace than most every team in the NBA, so it's not necessarily like three-point attempt rate. It's a little bit different. But Denver's percentage is 36.9%, which is down to 13th in the NBA. They are now average in terms of their three-point percentage. And in terms of their total three-point makes, they are 28th in the NBA, ahead of only the Orlando Magic and the Detroit Pistons. This is one of the big weaknesses with Reggie Jackson, Christian Brown, Peyton Watson, Justin Holiday as your bench contingent. Because Denver can get whatever offense they want with the starters. I firmly believe that. I think that the only teams that could potentially give the starters issues on the offensive end is really the Timberwolves. Everybody else, Denver will figure out. With the bench, it's really bad because they don't make a ton of them. They take a fair amount. They do not make a ton. If I go to, let me just adjust, and I'll do this now. I shouldn't be doing this now because I'm being dumb. With Jokic on the floor, Denver's three-point percentage is 38.4%. That is not quite the highest on the team, but it's pretty close. With Jokic off the floor, Denver shooting 33.6% from three. It's not just that they aren't like generating a ton, and they don't generate a ton when Jokic is off the floor. At least not good ones. But it's not a surprise that they don't make as many as well, because he sets them up really well. Murray, for as many strides as he's made as a playmaker, he's not Jokic. And when he's playmaking for others, he's often setting up Christian Brown, Peyton Watson, Zeke Nnaji, Aaron Gordon, Justin Holiday, guys like that, as opposed to setting up Michael Porter, KCP, Jamal Murray himself. So it's not a surprise, but the bench is not a good shooting unit. They're going to have to make some shots. They're going to have to find a way. And Denver's going to have to find a way to stay healthy. They're going to have to find a way to be engaged. They're going to have to find a way to be better. And right now they're not good enough. They might be able to be good enough. They flipped a switch last year and they made it work. But I think between the injuries and some of the questions that I have with the bench unit and some of the health concerns, like I did mention injuries, but also just like the burden that you take on as a defending champion, there's a reason that teams have not repeated. It's not always because they're not good enough. Most of the time, it's just stuff gets in the way. And so I'm hoping that Denver can figure it out, hoping they can find ways to get better, find ways to get rested. And I agree with this from Alex. Jokic needs rest too. He was, like, he talked about playing through his wrist injury. There's a wrist injury that Jokic has had for years. It's public knowledge, but not quite to the level of like, oh yeah, it's a problem, because Jokic still hits pretty much every shot that he takes. It is more problematic than he lets on, more problematic than the team lets on, and it is something that he will have to eventually get surgery on. It'll probably not be during an offseason. It'll probably be when he retires, if I'm being honest, because it does not seem like Jokic wants to fix it. He doesn't want to be sidelined. He wants to play through it. And he talked about today how he's comfortable playing through pain, because he's the Joker, because he's that dude. So, look, Denver needs him at his best, or close to at his best. He'll figure it out. I'm not concerned about him. I know that regardless of the situation, Nikola Jokic is going to find a way to show up. He may not be perfect, but he's going to be really damn good. And it is on the Nuggets to figure out how to compliment him the best they can. We'll see if they can. Folks, that is going to do it for this episode of Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports. It is 1:10 in the morning. Thank you to the folks that stayed up with me. Really appreciate all the love and support. If you can, please like and subscribe to the video if you have not done so already. That really helps out, really helps spread us out. It helps for all those that are going to wake up and wonder, hey, when did Ryan podcast? This will help put it in their inboxes. So thank you for doing so. Thank you for tuning into the show. Really appreciate it. I will be back, like I said, on Sunday evening with Swipa. Should be a lot of fun. I'll see you guys very soon.